Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Miss Barbara.
Good evening,
okay.
Diana.
Oh, good evening. Okay, this show tonight must be going to be spectacular because we are having such a problem getting on. So thank God Miss Barbara Moore is on, and Miss Barbara Joan Landis is going to come on too. And
oh,
I was thinking Pastor Michelle that was going to join us too, but I don't see her. So it could be I got her mixed up on the number too. But anyway, if you don't mind, Miss Barbara, as always, we love to start the show with a prayer. Would you mind starting us off with a food for thought and a prayer?
Oh, thank you, Diana. I would love to. I'm so grateful that we always start with prayer. And throughout the history of City on a Hill radio show, you have kept us on track always in prayer. And it's just so wonderful to be a part of that. And so let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful to you, Lord, that we get to talk about these important matters, these things that really do matter. We're so grateful, Father, that you're allowing us to see with your eyes and hear with your ears, Lord, and as we listen to you in your word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can know you, that we can know your heart, we can love what you love and hate what you hate, and Father, that your desires would be our desires. Father, more and more, I pray for us and for all your people, Lord, to be about your business, our Father's business, and Father, to take very seriously these perilous times that we're living in, and that we can be active for the kingdom of God. And that many souls will come into your kingdom, Father, through our ministries, Lord, through what we say, Father, what we do, Father, that you instruct us to do, Lord. Apart from you, there is nothing of value. But Father, with you, all things become possible. Things that are very, very valuable, Lord. Souls, we can be in the vineyard, your vineyard, Lord, bringing in the sheep, bringing in souls. And I pray that, Father, that we will be great soul winners. Father, you deserve, Lord, a great harvest. You deserve that, Father. And we do pray for it, Lord. We pray that you'll raise up laborers every day, Father, to preach and teach those biblical truths that are designed to bring about a great awakening in individuals and in our nation, Father, and throughout the world, a great revival of truth, that there'll be a seeking of your truth. Lord, your word says that we're to have a love of the truth, or we'll be easily deceived. So, Father, we just continue to pray that for your people, that we will have a love of the truth. Jesus, you said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that we will have a love for you, Lord, that surpasses all loves, that surpasses every desire. And our hearts would just beat steadily and for you, Lord, awaken us, O God. Empower us, O God, to do your will and your good pleasure. Because it is such a pleasure, Lord, for us to do your good pleasure. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the privilege of prayer, of relationship with you. We thank you that you are who you are and you do what you do. And Father, we ask that you would be with us tonight as we talk about important matters that are important to you, and therefore they are important to us. And Father, give us insights to share with others. Father, give us revelation knowledge, things that you want us to know and you want others to know, Lord. Just speak them through us, oh God. And help us to listen to one another that we don't miss anything that you're saying. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you. We love you so much. And we're so grateful to you, Lord, for these times and the endless times that we're living in, Lord. You chose them for us. Father, you chose them for each person alive on the planet today, Lord. We thank you for each one. Help us to be a blessing to as many as we can be, Father, to be blessings to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. We've got a full house. You won't believe who all's on with us. We've got Pastor Mary Shelnut and Joan Landis are both on with us, Miss Barbara.
Yay!
Welcome,
Pastor Mary, my favorite
Hello,
Pastor can... Mary in the world.
Thank you. It's so good to be on tonight. So good.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm going to let y'all talk. I'm going to set the stage, I guess. What I titled today is Learn the Truth About Sex Ed, Mental Health Common Core to Help Students. And I put in there, while Governor Northam of Virginia was convincing people that killing babies out of the womb is to help, Colorado and Texas are also being convinced children will be getting help with sex ed and mental health in schools. Truth is being skewed and children are being harmed. It's time for parents to recognize what's happening in other states, as it may be coming to theirs very soon. So I just thought I'd just go ahead and get that. And Ms. Barbara, I don't know whose it is, but I'm hearing a little reverb. So if you got a radio on or something, if you can turn it down just a little bit. I hear it not very loud. It's just in the background, just a tad. But I think if y'all are like me, you're seeing on Facebook so much conflict in what is true and what is false. And I thank God, Ms. Barbara, that, you know, they say in order for you to know what is false, you really have to study the original. And, Ms. Barbara, I'll ask you first to just get us back on the foundation that, you know, it's like, can we keep this nation? And I think that was asked of Benjamin Franklin. And what did he say?
Well, you know, he was asked when he came out of the Constitutional Convention, what kind of government have you given us? And Ben Franklin replied, a republic, if you can keep it. And so, you know, we're struggling. We're in a tremendous struggle to keep that constitutional republic. But praise God, we do have a man in the White House now who's determined to do that, who values our constitutional republic. And so, you know, we have a bit of hope. But he's just one man. We've got to remember that. He is just one man. And we've got to rebuild what's been torn down, the foundation that's been ripped apart from out from under us. And we have to build for the future. We don't want to leave our children in the mess that we have now, which is only going to get worse unless we stop it. And, you know, when you were talking and giving the issues for the day that we'll be talking about, and you know, I recall the words of Charlton Heston when they were going to take our guns, and he said, over my dead body. And I think we have to get to that point where all this trash that is being not just thrown at our children, it's being fed, it's being spoon-fed to our children. This garbage, yeah, and this trash and this corruptive stuff. I think we're going to have to get to the point that we say, over my dead body, you're going to do that, you know, over my dead body. We stop it. We stop it or it just takes over.
Is there not a cause, right, Miss Barbara?
That's
and,
right. Is there
I,
not?
I thank God for what you said. And we're so missing out on history now. The kids are not being taught the true foundation of this nation, which is the Word of God. And it's a great equalizer. You know, there's so much of this racism and inequality. But really, when you look at the Word of God, I mean, that's why the people that came here knew it was the right foundation, because they were servants in Europe, right? And to Pastor Mary, being a pastor that has worked in the trenches, you've seen very rich people come to their knees and become nothing. And you know yourself what it is, again, that equalizes all of us. And you speak of it so well. And that's why the Word of God is so important to you.
Absolutely. Yes, you know, you're so right. I was listening to Miss Barbara, and, you know, a little thought came to me right before I came on, and I was writing it down because I want to post it later. But the thought came to me, it says, if we freely give away our foundation, we're going to have to fight to get it back.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that is what's happening. That is what's happening right now. You know, we have been so open. Our country has been so open, and we have allowed so many different people into our country. So on every level, we're losing the foundation of our nation. You know, and,
yeah.
You know, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 3, the third chapter, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And it talks about take heed how we build up on that foundation. We have to take heed what we're doing. And so, you know, I mean, we're having to fight. We're having to fight the good fight of faith and try to really get our country back, really is what we're doing now. We're literally, and thank God, as Ms. Barbara said, thank God we have a president who is standing with us. We're standing with the American. We're a Christian nation. He's standing with us, you know, in this fight. So this truly a fight.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes. It is a fight. It
and
is
thank
a battle.
God.
We are.
Go ahead, Ms. Barbara. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just, it is a battle. We are at war, and there's a war going on against our children, our families, our marriages.
Mm.
Yes. And we have to fight for them. We do have to fight for them. But thank God we have the privilege of it. Some people don't even have that. You know?
No.
I want to bring in Ms. Joan, because I'm thinking, like you said, you know, some don't even have that. And Joan, I mean, we are being convinced that we are such a terrible people, such a terrible nation, full of racism, and it's almost like we're not even fit to be a nation. We need to be a globalist. And I almost think that we are really being manipulated, and, you know, we're seeing it with a sex education in schools. We're going to help your children, protect them by knowing every, you know, form of sex. And now the mental health, you know, we're going to find out which child is at risk, so that we can protect the society from those at risk, you know. And, of course, Common Core is going to make each child college and career ready. And, Joan, you've been looking at all this, and as a mental health expert, I love to call you that because you are, you've probably been watching this. You watch it from the beginning, and you already saw it at the beginning, because you know the workings of the mind. And I hate to say it, you can probably say, I told you so, because you're seeing so much of what you were worried was going to happen.
Right. Yeah, it's really true that we have to be as as wise as serpents, don't we? And we have to be able to understand the ramifications of the follies that people would like to impose upon us and our children. Just as an example, you know, in the 50s, after Alfred Kinsey's report on human sexuality came out, that was such a that was such a it created such a cultural upheaval. The research that he did, quote unquote research, it's now been totally debunked. But and so soon after that, soon after that, the promiscuity and the pornography became accepted because of his research that normalized all of that under false pretenses, I may add. And so what happened was that the sexually transmitted disease rate from 1950 to 1960 doubled. And pregnancy, out of wedlock pregnancies started really increasing hard and fast, especially in the minority communities first. And then now the non-minority community is on the exact same track. They're just 30 years behind. But, in 1960, something like 5% of black kids were born out of wedlock. I think that's correct. I'll have to double check that. Within 10 to 15 years, that had tripled. And Patrick Moynihan had his report that was saying that this is absolute disaster. Well, the numbers that were absolute disaster then for the minority communities now are the non-minority community numbers too. So we're all in the same boat. We are all in the same boat. Mm. STDs will affect anybody. Mm-hmm. Pregnancies will affect anybody. Sin affects everybody. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. God is no respecter of persons. He wants everyone to come to him, to repent, to have faith in him, to trust in him, to rely on his word, to rely on his promises. And if we don't, we really are in peril. And when Miss Barbara said that we're in a war, it occurred to me today that we have now commenced the second civil war. And it's still a cold war. There was an amazing article in Imprimis about this. We are in the middle of a cold civil war, but here's what the shot was, like the firing on Fort Sumter. Do you know what it was? It was when the New York Assembly passed that infanticide bill, and those people stood up and gave a standing ovation. And I saw that, and I thought, that is the first shot over the bow, saying, we have you in our sights, and we are going to take you down. And it's so interesting because it's almost North against South again. The North, the North are the ones that are passing these laws that are so egregious to, snuff out the life of these babies, clear up to birth and even after birth, if you can believe it. I can't believe those words are escaping my mouth. And then the states in the South are the ones that are affirming their personhood and protecting their rights as persons. And I'm like, you go South. That, in a way, to me, what it is, it's kind of the South is making good on some of the things that may have happened before that wasn't so good. That if the South will protect these little people, these helpless people now, that to me, I'm like, wow, I'm behind that 100%. I think that's such a noble cause. But to me, that is really something to think that those states are almost lining up again, at least right now. Kentucky just passed a law today. Did you hear that? Was it today or yesterday? if a heartbeat is detected, you cannot abort that baby.
Thank God. Thank God.
Miss Barbara, Pastor Mary, I wonder if it's because I think of the North as having been industrialized sooner than the South. And I don't know if maybe the fact that the South had looked at itself and saw how filthy and wrong it was, and it seems like there was really, a time of asking God for forgiveness and health. And I think it seems like the South has been really so covered in the word, where the North has gotten so full of intellectualism that it's intellectualized itself into almost losing its soul. You know, you see the leadership. I mean, it's like they forgot where they came from. But, Ms. Barbara, what do you think?
You know what, Diana? When you were speaking, I thought, I really don't know. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I just really don't know. But there is a distinction. There really is.
Mm-hmm.
It, probably a lot went into it. You know, I don't know. I was thinking, you know, mentioned Civil War, and I was thinking back about the differences between the North and the South. You know, the North, the Northerners were every bit as prejudiced, if not more so, than the Southerners. And that was addressed by many different people, including Frederick Douglass, I do believe. But you know, it was a different brand of it or something. But you know, there are differences.
Yes, go ahead.
I might have a little light to shed on that. So Dinesh D'Souza has done a lot of research on this, and he said it's actually the leftists and the Democrats that want us to think that it was the North were the good guys and the South were the bad guys. He said that's really a false dichotomy. He said what it was the Democrats, and there were Northern Democrats and Southern Democrats that were all about keeping slavery. And there were just as many in the North, not just as many, but a lot. And in fact, when Lincoln counted the top four pro-slavery legislators, three of them were from the North. And so, but see, after the Civil War, after that disaster, the Democrats did not want to be identified with that. So instead of saying it was a Democrat plank, they said it's a Southern problem that was so racist.
Wow.
But it really wasn't. Oh. There were just, yeah, there were, it was a Democrat issue. And as D'Souza says, he said that the Jim Crow laws were passed by every Jim Crow law was passed with a Democrat legislature, signed by a Democrat governor, and enforced by Democrat, you know, sheriffs and things like that. Mm. And then here's another fascinating fact. He said, no Republicans owned a slave, even one slave, in the election before the Civil War. No Republicans owned slaves, none. And he's been saying that for over 2 years, and he's been challenging people. He said that one is the most refutable fact. If it's not true, someone will come up with a refutation of that. And he said, this is not a North-South thing. It was a Democrat-Republican thing. The Democrats wanted the slavery. They wanted the subjugation. They were the racists. And the Ku Klux Klan was the enforcement arm of the Democratic Party. So interesting.
Yeah.
And so somebody challenged him and said, okay, Dinesh, I found an exception. I found a Republican that owned a slave. And Dinesh said, okay, who was it? And they said, Ulysses S. Grant. And Dinesh said, well, good try. He said, except that do you know the answer to this, Ms. Barbara?
He wasn't a Republican, I guess.
That's right. He inherited a slave from his wife. His wife's relative died, and he inherited that slave as a Democrat, and then he did not have that slave when he was a Republican. Isn't that fun?
Wow.
So
he also did not release his slaves after the Emancipation Proclamation. Only the the southern states were required to, and he did not. He did not. Another little fact is that nine out of ten Confederate soldiers owned no slaves.
Exactly.
They were not fighting for slavery.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Pastor Mary,
yeah.
Let me bring Pastor Mary in, because I think I remember seeing a man, and it was a black man, who was protecting a Confederate memorial. And he gave his spiel, you know, and it's like made the students really stop and think, you know, hey, this man's protecting it. And he saw it differently. But Pastor Mary, I think this is why it's so important. You know, people talk like why does truth matter, even on something so little like the Pope signing a pact with Islam, with a Muslim cleric, right? And what does that have to do with Common Core? But Pastor Mary, you are one that's lived really pretty been raised with lies, and then you found the truth, and it does make a difference, right?
It absolutely does. It really does. You know, growing up, you know, it's just automatically, you know, growing up in my neighborhood, you're a Democrat. If you're black, you're a Democrat, you know. And it's just after learning the truth and beginning to learn history, it's just so, it makes a world of a difference. It makes sense, too. I mean, when you look at it,
yeah.
I mean, the facts are there the whole time. Democrats did not want the slaves free, but this kind of information has been hidden from the black community. And it's always been embedded into the black community that the Republicans are racist. The Republicans are racist. And you see it, especially every election, you see all the Democrats, that's the biggest card they use. They use the race card, you know, to the point that, you know, now because of the information is getting out, our black communities are saying, hey, look, that don't work anymore, you know. It's not working anymore because truth is being revealed. And that's why I love, you know, I love talks like these because, you know, the truth is being put out. And listen, if a person can't receive the truth, then that's on them. At least they will hear it, you know. And but when you think about it and you look back at how the Democrats, how they would just lynch the slaves and they would just, you know, kill them, hang them, you know, it was the Democrat Party. It was the Democrats. It's the truth. And how the, I don't know how we, our minds were so branded that the Democrats cared about us, you know. It's just so... you know, so I spend a lot of my time talking to people. And let me tell you something, you know, a lot of my, you know, the black communities, and I have a real fight on my hand a lot of times because people do not want to face the truth. They have believed in this party all these years. They have believed in the Democrat Party. And then when you begin to say, just the other day I asked a black minister, I said, did you know that President Obama stopped National Day of Prayer at the White House? He said, what? Really? Really? I said, yeah, serious? You know, he was like, serious? I said, yes. He stopped the National Day. I said, that has never happened in the history. You know, and these are things that, you know, of course, our fake news media is not going to advertise much, you know. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that going on in the political arena that that's being hid from the black community, especially with the Democrats. So it's a challenge. It is truly a challenge. But, you know, I'm dedicated. My thing is, see, I love truth. That the truth made me free, even as, you know, getting accepting the Lord in my life and accepting God. It was a preacher who was preaching the truth one day. And because he was preaching truth, you know, I was hungry for truth. I wanted truth. I wanted something better in my life. And he was preaching about Jesus and how you know, he could come into your heart and how he could save you and change you. And I thought, you know, even though I was raised in church, you know, it was weird. I was raised in church, but I did not know Jesus as my personal Savior. And so, you know, when I really began to hear the truth, you know, it set me free. And so that's my commitment, is to really share with people, share with my family, my grandchildren. I did a special interview with my granddaughter. She's 16. And, you know, at first, you know, the news came on. I was at her house, and the news came on, and, And if they, of course, you know, every single day in Georgia, they just bash Trump. I mean, every single day. It's Trump, like he's the worst person in the world. So when the news came on, she was like, oh, my God, you know, oh, there he go again. So it opened up a conversation, you know, and so I just thank God for that time with her, because after we had the conversation, she really, really, really began to see that Trump, she's been branded like, He's racist. He's racist. He's racist, Grand. He's racist. I said, no. I said, you know, tell me, what did he do or what did he say? But she could not, you know, she said, well, on the news, this or on the news, that. I said, okay, let's have a talk. You know, let's have a talk. And so I really thank God, you know, so she told me before I left, she says, you know, I really appreciate that. She said, you know, you're teaching me to really get to know a person for yourself and do your research. And so I asked her, I says,
Amen.
Yeah, and you know, I asked her the question. I said, "But listen, do you know who set the slaves free?" She said, "Of course." She said, "The Democrats did." You know. She was like, "Yes, Democrats." I said, "No." And she said, "Abraham Lincoln." She said, "He was a Democrat." I said, "No. He was a Republican." She said, "No, get out of here. She said, "I'm going to Google it right now." She literally got her phone and Googled, you know. And she found out, oh, he is a Republican. Yet I said, yes, it was the Republicans. I said, it was the Democrats who voted to keep the slaves. She was like, oh, wow. You know, I did not know this. You know, and so there's so many men who do not know the truth. And so that, you know, I'm just committed to that. And so now she's been a little advocate. She's sharing the truth with her friends, you know. She's telling me.
Oh, wow.
And Pastor Mary, wow. You're talking about a child who is in school. And really, you know, when we think about that, this is why it's so important for the children to get the truth. And Ms. Barbara, you know, you were one of those teachers that's now a rarity that really knew how to teach, because unfortunately a lot of the new teachers, you know, they just pull something off the internet. You know, it's so much easier now. And all these assessments, it's like they can't even assess the children in their own classes if they're not good enough to know, you know, what each child needs. And so education has been turned upside down. But Ms. Barbara, you that knows the history, know there's nothing new under the sun. And this is something that men like Hitler knew. If you could take over the education system, you can take
That's
over
right,
the
right?
country.
That's right. That's okay. right. And, you know, the taking over of American education has been well planned and well plotted and schemed and for, you know, decades. You know, it didn't just happen recently. It was quite well thought out and implemented step by step by step. But you know, in Christian schools, in home schools, there's a real opportunity for parents and of course teachers in Christian schools to do their research and to find out truth and teach it to their children. And you know, these are perilous days, but we're not under yet. You know, while there's life, there's hope, and He is the God of all hope. And so, you know, we can be a hopeful people, and we can help our younger people to, as we learn the truth, then we teach the truth, mm-hmm. like you're doing, Pastor Mary, and that is just a beautiful. Oh, I just rejoice with you. And loved hearing that. My heart just is so happy to hear that. It reminds me too of Donna Garner. She says, "Each one, teach one."
Yes. Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, just you know the history that was taught, like you used to teach, it was important for you to let the young people know about the great patriots of this country. And, you know, nowadays you're seeing Antifa and you're seeing such a hatred really for this country. It's like they don't know about the great men that gave their lives so they could be free. And that is so missing. for a teacher, Ms. Barbara, isn't that almost like a crime when you see that happening?
Well, it is. It's theft. They've stolen away our children's heritage, the legacy that was left to them, their inheritance, which is more precious than gold. And the reason I taught was because I had something to teach. The Lord had saved me, taught me his word, and then all about the history of our country and the great men and women who sacrificed to give us the freedom and the opportunity and the justice, the highest standard of justice in the entire world. You know, just treasure after treasure. And so I felt an obligation to share what I had learned. And I did not learn it in any formal institution. I researched it myself with the help of the Lord, for sure. And then you know, I was able to share that and to share my love for my country, first for my God, but the Lord that had his hand upon this country from the very beginning, and the men and women who surrendered their wills to his will, and he was able to do great and mighty exploits through them. And so I was very much in love with the Lord, with our country, with the men and women, the great men and women who've gone before us, who left us this great treasure, and was able to share that with young people. And so many of them, y'all, so many of them just loved it. And they began to love our forefathers and what they'd done, and the wonderful little stories the wonderful little true stories about our founding fathers and the various events and in history and the stories within those events, you know, and it was just a great time. It was a great time.
Well, Ms. Barbara, go ahead, Pastor Mary.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about, there's a verse, I'm looking at it as you were talking, and sometimes, you know, because you're trying to just put it in your mind, you're just like, God, why are they coming after our children so strong? And I'm looking at this verse in Matthew, the 17th chapter, and the 18th chapter and 3rd verse. It says, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, it just dawned on me just reading that, to be converted. And it's like they're trying to convert our children into the faithless world. They'll see, it's like, yeah, you know, they're trying to convert our children into to think like them and to believe like them and to believe the opposite of what's real and what's true. And it's just like, because I'm like, what, God, they're really after our children. Like, I mean, they're spending millions and millions of dollars to convert our children, to contaminate our children, to really, the history is to teach something that is the opposite of what's real or what's true. And so it's like, gosh. It's making sense to me. And, you know, in the 17th chapter, Jesus, there's a part in there where Jesus said, oh, you faithless and perverse generation. And that's where we are right now, dealing with people, or common-minded people, people who do not have faith in God, people who are in legislators and senators and people who are in government positions. They're faithless. He says, you're faithless and pervert generation. That is something really, oh, my goodness.
Pastor Mary, let me also, I guess this is good segue, or whatever you call it, to what Joan Landis is really about. You know, Joan, we thank God that God has put you in a field where you can study the mind. And really, it's like what Pastor Mary is saying, you know, and I think of it as, you know, the science is so good now, right? There's so much scientific knowledge now. And you can study the heavens, and they say you can even study the heavens when Jesus was born. And there's a movie, a documentary on that, The Star of Bethlehem. I wish everybody would watch that. You will just be dumbfounded at how much you don't know compared to the God of heaven and what he did. But I'm just thinking, Joan, with what the science is now, what they know about how to form the child's mind, how to raise a child. I mean, they're even trying to raise a child out of the womb, right, in little, you know, Petri dish. You know for yourself that there are ways to manipulate the minds of America's children, and you're seeing it with the sex education, the mental health in Texas. I think I mentioned to you about the sex education in Colorado, where the child is going to be taught every kind of sexual act. They cannot be told about normal relationship, and they will not be taught abstinence, and the parents will not be notified. And then in Texas, they're going to implement mental health. They're trying to fast-track a bill. And the same, the Colorado bill is being fast-tracked too. And the mental health part is so that they can, you know, make risk assessments so they can see the child that may be prone to commit, you know, atrocities. And I'm thinking, I think I've heard a story about James Dobson that, you know, he was so bad that his dad had to move him out of state. So, hey, if that can happen to James Dobson, what do you think you can do in trying to predict, you know? I mean, people can be changed. That's what I thought parents were supposed to be about, helping with their children. But anyway, the science is there, Joan, to manipulate. And this is something that I'm hoping parents will take a stand and say no, but how to convince the parents that this is not good when it's being promoted just like Common Core is going to make their child better and help them? Joan, did I lose you? Did we lose you, Joan?
No, I had my mute on, so I didn't have any background noise while you guys were talking. But yeah, we all have compassion in our hearts for kids that are struggling. Okay, there's no question. We all want safe schools. There's no question. However, we want to be careful that we don't actually damage the foundational unit that creates great resilience in children, and that is not the school. It's the family. And if we don't expect the family to step up, if we just write them off at the outset, which is what's happening in some other states, what's his name? Duke Pesta just came out with a video today talking about, that there's legislation to basically control your children through mental health services. And he has a clip on there of a legislator woman that basically says, it's too late. You parents are so out of the picture that teachers are the de facto parent now. I mean, she just says it, a bald-faced assertion like that. And so we have to we can't dismiss parents and families out of hand because they won't step up. But if we expect them and have faith in them, there's probably 80% of families that will step up. There's always 20%, you know, 10 on either end that will always be there for their kids no matter what. And then there's 10% that will never be there for kids no matter what. But there's 80% in the middle that really are motivated by the political and cultural ethos. And so we can't dismiss the role of parents. But here is the harm. Okay. This is terrifying. Speak from experience, because I have been a mental health counselor in a school. Okay. This is not just theory. I know how this stuff works. And I know that once a child gets in the government mental health pipeline, then every professional that has anything to do with that child is practicing CYA medicine. CYA, we all know what that means. And And so it is not necessarily the best thing for the child or the family. But that professional does not want to be the one that accidentally lets a shooter through the system. And so they have to become very aggressive about treating these kids. And so that is a huge harm, because no psychotropic medication has been developed for children. All the psychotropic medication that I know of was not developed for children. It was developed and normed on adults, and it's actually used for the most part off-label when the SSRIs, depression medication, anxiety medication, bipolar medication, and ADHD medication, those were not developed for kids. And so the risks are huge, and a lot of these have the black box warnings that say this has a very high chance of producing suicidal thoughts in young people from the ages of 14 to 24. And so if you are going to use this medication on troubled youth, it needs to be monitored extremely well. You do not just give a prescription to these kids and let them out the door. You have to monitor them. Well, that's not what happens. What happens is pills are cheaper than psychotherapy, so they throw a prescription at these kids and they walk out the door, and a certain number of them will become more suicidal, more violent, more agitated, more depressed, and then they are the ones that go act out. They kill themselves or they kill other people. So I have an article that Dr. Ephraim put together, Dr. Karen Ephraim, and I'm starting to think of her as, Dr. Ephraim Magnus or the Great or something like that, because she really is, she's a force of nature. And she put together this article, and it had in graph form the 12 of recent school shooters, their names, the location, how many casualties there were, and what medication, if any, they were on. And of the 12 school shooters, 11 were on psychotropic meds. Now that tells us something. Right, that tells us something. That's not chance. There's something going on there. And then not only that, but I think something like 11 of the 12 did not have a father in the home. So there's your family piece. There's your inappropriate psychotropic medication piece. Okay, so that's terrifying even on its own. But it gets worse. Here's how it gets worse. Now that so many children who are LGBT, and part of that is the gender dysphoric kids, they often become quite depressed. They can become suicidal. Okay? That's another discussion of why that happens, but we won't talk about that now. But all they have to do now with this type of legislation is go to the school counselor and say, I'm depressed. I want to have a gay lifestyle, or I want to have puberty blockers. I want to start puberty blockers, and I want to have the surgery to cut off my breasts by next year, and I want to be a man. All that child has to do is go to the mental health counselor and say, I'm depressed, I'm suicidal, I need treatment. And guess what happens now under these plans? The rights of the parents are absolutely abrogated. If they don't comply with the recommended treatment, which is to comply, to provide puberty blockers, to schedule that child for the surgical mutilation, if they don't, they either risk being charged with child abuse, child neglect, or medical neglect. And there have been cases. I had I have a file full of cases where the parents lost custody of their child because they would not countenance this, right? And so that's the terrifying scenario. If your child just simply says, I'm suicidal, they can basically get any kind of treatment they want, regardless of their parents' wishes, as minors.
Mm.
And there's nothing to stop that. And in fact, it hasn't been stopped in other areas of the country. So this is what parents are in for, that it will completely change the dynamic of parental authority and break apart families. So you know how right now some kind of snotty, bratty kids, you know, they've heard things on the media about, you know, spanking is child abuse, and they'll say mm-hmm. that some of them will say to their mom outright, you spank me and I will report you to CPS.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's
yeah.
true. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's gonna be and you can tell what that does to parental authority in the home. It's like the parent is not the authority now. It's the government. And then now it's going one step further. If I say I'm suicidal and you don't let me have the treatment that the psychologist at the school says I should have, then I will be taken out of your custody or you will be charged with these things. It is absolutely heinous. It is absolutely. A very wise man said about, and I posted this on my Facebook page a while ago, he is about 40 years ago, and he said, the day will come when only those people who are totally devoted to the concept of family will be able to keep theirs together.
Yeah.
And the reason is that the forces of the government, the forces of global power and political power and the commercialization of all that data, that will become so... The pressure will be so great that many families will just crumble under that pressure. And so we have to focus on the Bible, the scriptures, the Spirit of God, prayer, connection with God, and connection with our religious congregations. We have to meet together. You know, we're two or three... are together. What is it? Where two mm-hmm. or three meet in my name, there I am
gathered with
them also. Right, gathered in my name. Mm-hmm. That's right. And we need to do that. We need to make sure we're gathering. We're not trying to do this all alone in our houses. That we get out there during the week, we get out there on Sundays, and we're with our congregations, and we're saying, we have got to hold each other up. We've got to support each other in this against this onslaught of, you know, we're really fighting not against blood and not against flesh and blood, but in evil and wickedness in high places.
Spiritual wickedness,
and that's,
yes.
That's what it is. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm just, it's terrifying. It is terrifying. It's as terrifying as anything I've seen.
Well, Joan, let me ask Ms. Barbara. Ms. Barbara, are you still listening to us, or you had to get off? I hope she's still listening, but I wanted to ask her because I always love, well, she's gone. She had to take care of Bear.
Bless her heart.
But,
yeah.
But Pastor Mary, I'll ask you because I was going to ask, I love to go back to the history, right, because history is really like, how can you go in the right direction if you don't know where you came from? That makes so much sense, right? I mean, when we go on a trip, mm-hmm. we have to know where we're leaving, right? When we do the GPS, it asks us, where are you coming from, right? So it's so
mm-hmm.
important. And I love the fact that in this great nation, it was founded in the Word of God. And I love the fact that, you know, that God allowed the prayers of really parents, and we're at it again, you know, parents, grandparents, that he listened to the prayers of simple people and really made something fantastic, great. You know, it's like stopping time, right? He was stopping the progress of the world where Great Britain was the world's greatest power. And here's these little simple folks, right, asking God for help because they had nothing. They didn't even really have any money, you know. They had nothing. They were so beholden. But yet, mm-hmm. for the grace of God, right, for the grace of God. And so, but I think in order to be able to ask God something, we have to know the problem. And Joan just pretty much laid out to us the problem. But Joan, now you've had a chance. I'm going to ask Pastor Mary to deal with this, but I want to ask her a little bit because you did speak. I think you said you were going to be speaking, and I know you can't say the name, to somebody in leadership about, you know, some concerns that you have. Could you tell that it was getting to his heart? Could you tell that something was going in that mind that maybe, just maybe, he would do something good?
That's a really good question, actually. It was a good meeting, and it was with the sponsor of the bill here in Utah. And he listened. He was very polite. He was very well informed. I was quite impressed with that. He had a grip on a lot of the issues, a lot of the mental health issues, and a lot of that. When I started talking to him about the abrogation of parental rights via the suicidality of children, whether they're, I didn't mention to him the gay issue, but the transgender issue. When I talked to him about that, that shifted the climate in the room. It wasn't all positive. It wasn't all positive, but it made an impact. And he said to me, he said, I would cut off my finger to prevent this topic from coming up when we discuss this bill. Well, of course, because it's going to bleed all over everything. It would make the biggest kerfluffle. I mean, it would be really shocking. My sense is that the LGBT groups are laying really low right now because they realize what power this will give them if this passes. But I think if somebody stands up and says, basically, over my dead body, these kids, you know, are what's going to happen to these children against the wish of their parents because of this legislation is, you know, that's a hill to die on. And so it made an impact on him because it spooked him. But I didn't sense his heart was softened. And I did say, here are my recommendations to make the bill better. He said, listen, we've been working on this for a year. I've heard from this people. We've worked with this person, this entity, these institutions. You know, basically saying, listen, chick, we've been working with the big pros for a year. You're not going to walk in here and demand adjustments. And I get that. I mean, that's fine. But we know his pain point now, which is the transgender parental family disintegration at the hands of the CPS issue. That's his pain point. At least I think so. But I said, if you will put these three provisions in the law, it will really protect these parents. The first provision is that mental health screenings or evaluations cannot be mandatory. That's number one. Number two is that any kind of mental health treatment, whether it's counseling, group therapy, or medication, none of that can be required as a prerequisite to enrolling or being readmitted to school. And then number three is at no time can any government official or entity charge parents with child abuse, neglect, or medical neglect simply because they refuse mental health treatment for their children.
Wow.
Now,
common
those,
sense.
Those, yeah, those three provisions will make it, will really diminish the potential negative impact that I was talking about. Because here's the deal. Most parents are actually on the opposite end. If you have a child that really is depressed, that really is super anxious, that really is suicidal, that really is, you know, violent, right? Most parents mm-hmm. are screaming to get help.
Yeah.
I've got an article of a woman, they're just looking everywhere. They're desperate. And they can't get enough help. Please, please, please. You know, we've been into the emergency room 10 times last year, and all they did was give her meds and put her out the door. And so for most parents with children who are genuinely mentally ill, you will not have resistance. They will be on board for normal treatment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's this other 4% that has to do with the social issues, the LGBT issues. That's where the rubber hits the road, and I think that's where we have to have those parental protections, so that at least that's my sense. Now, the good point was, he goes, well, I don't want to do anything right now. I don't want to make any more changes to the bill right now because we might not get it through. I'm just like, you're kidding me. That you would shove something through that is a bad bill rather than have nothing? Are you kidding? But see, that's the impetus from Parkland talking. And you know, Texas has got a bill. Utah's got a bill. Gosh, how many other states have a bill? I mean, this has been in the pipeline for a while, and it's all hitting the fan right now. And he just basically said, send me the wording of the Minnesota statute. And because I told him, I said, listen, Minnesota and Florida have these protective words, the protective language in there that I just said, these three requirements. They already have them. And so you have to provide that for politicians. You have to provide them cover, right? You have to say, hey, it's already been
mm-hmm.
done. You're okay. You're safe. And mm-hmm. and he was interested in that. He said, please email me the language in those statutes. And he said, there's a very good chance we can get that in later. And I'm just like, oh, man. And this bill, it's a $100 million bill.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. And who's going to get a lot of that money?
It's the schools and the mental health counselors and
telemedicine.
Yeah, could be. Now they didn't have that. They didn't have that aspect in here, but So it didn't give me a whole heck of a lot of hope, but it was informative to me about an angle that we could take that could put real pressure on him to put those protections in. Because to me, if he would put those protections in, that would make that bill much more palatable. It's like I wouldn't worry about it nearly as much. But without them, oh my gosh, it's just the problem with the problem with the gender dysphoria is that it's contagious. And suicide is contagious too, right? And it's what we call social contagion. And so as more kids say, oh, yeah, that's me, other kids go, oh, me too. And
mm-hmm.
it becomes
mm-hmm.
contagious. So it's serious. So I'll be working with my, I've got a little Facebook group here in Utah that, man, these are fantastic women. I just kind of worship at their feet. They're just so, they're so wise and powerful. So we're working with them to see if we can make something happen. But there's a hearing on the bill tomorrow.
Wow.
And
we've got to pray for that.
Yeah.
We've got to pray for that.
Yeah.
Oh, with that in
yeah.
mind, I think asking God for help, because nothing new under the sun, right? The God who created the heaven and the earth. And I just love the story of the Star of Bethlehem. because you can actually get the computer software where you can go and disguise and Jesus' birth and the Star of Bethlehem is for real. That's a man that proved that, and he was an attorney. He said, why am I doing this, you know, with astronomy and all this, and I'm an attorney? Well, it's because God wanted him to show the world the two sides, the unbelief and the belief. And I think, you know, this world is you know, spiritual and physical, right? So we're going to call on the spiritual. We're going to call on God who can stop time, right? And he can form a nation out of nothing and make that nation great. But we have to remember who made that nation. Where does that blessing come from, right? Every one of us that lives in this nation is so blessed. And we hold the key. The key lives in our hearts. And he gives us so much wisdom. And each one of us is different. And Joan's got her specialty. Pastor Mary's got her specialty. Miss Barbara, every one of us has got our own little specialty where God has shown us a little something. And we are so loved. And I heard, Joan, that, you know, with children, it matters that they know they're so loved. And, you know, so loved. Yes. And I just revel in that because I know life is not easy. And these young people, life is not easy. So for the parent that's listening, you love your child, and maybe you're listening tonight because you want to help your child. You don't like what's going on in schools. And you don't like that that little child has been turned into something else that sometimes you don't even recognize. And, you know, thank God that Joan has done her studies and she's given a word of caution to people that are facing this problem in their states or will be facing. And we need to really watch what happens. But I think she gave us some really good, great suggestions. But I love the fact that the Word of God is powerful, right? It's like a two-edged sword, right, Pastor Mary? And
absolutely,
and I think
yes.
My solution right now has always been my solution for me personally when I'm in trouble. Is go to God and go to the Word. Claim that word, ask God for mercy because, you know, Lord, I can't change anything. I'm just me. I can't change anything, but I know you who created heaven and earth. You said because I know you that you will hear me and you will answer me. And so for every parent or grandparent or anybody that loves children that's listening to us, I'd like for you to join us with Pastor Mary as we pray specifically for the problems that Utah is facing, specifically for the problem of Texas and Colorado and other states. Pastor Mary, would you do that for us, please?
Yes, I will. Father, you know, I just thank God that, you know, we have this privilege to pray and to lift up these children all over the nation. You know, one of my family members, God, she was introduced to homosexual lifestyle in college. And, you know, so it's on every level in grade school and college and high school, the spirit that is after our young people. And Father, we just want to come before you right now. And we pray, we just lift up our children to you, Lord God. We pray, Lord, for all of the bills that are trying to go forth to not to convert our children, but to pervert our children. And, Lord, we just come against these spirits and these bills that are not beneficial to our children, Lord. We just pray, God, that you intervene, Father. We ask them that you intervene. You move in Utah. You move in Texas and different states, Lord, that are trying to pass bills that are perverting our children, Lord. We see it on television every day, Lord. Our little children, our little girls are dressing like hookers on the street, Father. We just pray for our children, Lord. We lift them up to you, God. Lord, you said that we would just humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, Father, that you would hear from heaven and you would heal our land. And, Father, we stand on your promises. We're standing on your promises, Lord, for this is a nation that believes in you. This is a nation that was founded upon you, Lord. And Father, we are a Christian nation, Lord, and you see the things that are happening to our children, Lord. So we just pray a special prayer, Lord, that you intervene even on tomorrow as this meeting goes forth, Lord. We just pray, God, that you would intervene, Father. Lord, we know that you can dispatch your angels right now to go and to intervene, Father. You said the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and you would turn it the way you desire for it to go. And we just speak that, and we pray, and we stand on it, Lord, tonight. Lord God, that you would just move for our children on behalf of our children all over this nation and all over the world, Father. We just thank you. We thank you for our men and women who are standing in the gap, who are fighting for the children. Lord, you said, suffer the little children to come unto you and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And, Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to move on behalf of our children. We just thank you, Lord. We praise you. I thank you for Joan. We thank you for Diana, Miss Barbara, those who came on tonight and sacrificed to be in to stand and speak up and speak out boldly for our children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And Joan, I've got, before you go, I've got a few more minutes, if I may ask this. You know, I've heard somebody say that, you know, that you tune, like, I guess, like to a tuning fork, right? You get it right when you listen to that note that's tuned, you know, with that tuning fork. And everybody connects to that. And I saw this great orchestra. And this man was said, no, let's let them, you know, tune or whatever. And, you know, everybody was playing their own thing. But then they asked somebody to play that one note, right? And with that one note where they all were listening, they started playing beautifully. And this was a great orchestra. So
right.
I think, Joan, what is it about, you know, God made us a certain way, and you've talked about things that really happens that's really proving that God's word is true, where, you know, to teach the kids things that are holy, good, and pure is what the latest in neuroscience is, the way to really raise up these children. And so I'm thinking to myself that maybe the tuning fork that we need, because everybody's got problems in every state.
Mm.
But I wonder if the same thing that made this nation great at the very beginning, which was parents listening to that child read the word, or that word being read to the child, if that is not like a tuning fork for children, what do you think?
I love that. I just love that, because it gets all of our, to me, it's like a tuning fork, or you know, the iron filings of a magnet, and when the power of that magnet comes near all those random iron filings, they'll line up. They will line up in order to, you know, follow the influence of that, the electromagnetic power. And there's really something to that if we will tap into that power from above, we can become aligned, we can become attuned, we can be focused on whatever mission that we are supposed to have, and ultimately that is, you know, for healthy families to be worshiping God, that can happen. And I love that metaphor of reading the scriptures as our tuning fork. I love that. That's a powerful image.
Love
Diana.
That too. Yes, that is.
Well, I've always wondered what made the founding fathers so much smarter. Because, you know, remember when you came to the David Barton Wall Builders event in Dothan, and how David Barton talked about the great children of the past that could do mental math that probably a college student couldn't even do today. And so it's like we have been so dumbed down, and I think the only difference is back then they were so immersed in being fine-tuned to the truth. And there,
yes.
I think it's like you were saying, there is like a magnet. We do not see the power of that magnet, but there is a power there with the word, because I know personally, I have seen students that did nothing in Bible study but read the Word, and there's something that happens with just year after year reading the Word. And so I'm thinking, mm-hmm. Joan, I think we need to go back and revisit what the founders did, back to the basics, and let that Word be the healing balm, be the help, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist. It doesn't even take somebody with a degree to help a child become the best they can be. It just, it's like what you've said before in your Board of Education. You know, they're trying to reinvent the wheel, but really homeschoolers do a great job already.
Yeah. Yeah, they've solved all those problems. They've solved the achievement gap. They've solved the anxiety and depression and suicidality problem. They have solved the LGBT problem for the most part. I mean, it's really something that if you can keep your kids close, it's all about your relationships. It really is. I mean, the one thing that I would kind of think about is, along with reading the scriptures, it's what's the feeling in the home when that happens? You know, if it's considered like a really drudgery punishment, or, you know, I hate this and they're forced to do it, that might not be the ideal. But to have a lot of love and a lot of support, and to have that relationship with that parent be a pattern for the relationship with God, and that it's trusting, yeah, and loving and forgiving, then I think that all of that works together, right? It all works together. Yeah.
It does. You know, I know, well, time is almost up, but, you know, Diana, that reminds me of my mother. You know, every time we would have family dinner where we all were sitting around the table, we had to read a Bible verse. We had to read that Bible. You know, she's like, okay, each one of y'all going to have a verse, and you got to read before we can eat, you know. So it works. Yes, yes. So, you know,
wow.
And many times it was the Ten Commandments. You know, we had to read the Ten Commandments. You know, it's just, you know, learning the Word and putting the Word in our children means so much, so much, so important.
Well, I think that's a great tip for tonight. We will go and leave the listeners with that. We just really believe in the Word of God, that it is powerful. God, well, Jesus said he is the truth, right? He is the truth.
Yes.
And, mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, there are so many things in that Bible that is for life. And so with all the problems that we heard, and they are big, but it's like there is a cause worth fighting for. These children are worth fighting for, and we have,
yes,
a help, and that is the Lord Almighty. He is called Almighty, and he's able. So with that, I'm going to ask you guys that are listening that want to share the podcast, please go to hopeinc.tv and share the City on a Hill radio show podcast with your friends and family. But most importantly, we hope that you will pray over the precious ones in your lives, and pray for your neighbor's children too. We would ask you to do that. And we pray peace over you. What is that, the blessings scriptures? Which one of you knows the blessing scriptures? I guess it's, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Is that it? May the Lord bless you and keep you, and shine his face upon you and give you peace. That is our desire for you who are listening. So God bless you, and please tune in again. We hope to be joined in again by these wonderful ladies. So, Joan, you want to say one thing before I let you go?
I think we're good. I think we've covered all the bases. You did a fantastic job as an interviewer, Diana.
Yes,
you did. God is good.
Thank you. Thank you for those compliments, Joan. Thank you so much. I love you, girl.
Oh, you're easy to love. You are easy to love. So, all right. We will keep doing what we know is right.
Okay. Yes. Listeners, join us again. We are full of love. God bless you. Good night. Good night, everybody. Love y'all.
Love you.